All news, traffic, and weather driving to work and back home. News Radio 101 FM KXL, Oregon's station of record.
And we're back on Business Briefing with our economic expert, Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Pat, thanks for taking time out of your weekend to join us. It's been a couple weeks since we have talked, and a lot has happened, or maybe I should say has not happened since then. This debt ceiling debate is pretty incredible when you think about it. I mean, here we are. We have the nation's credit card maxed out. You got to assume, maybe we shouldn't, that they'll get something done. But let's talk about this, because this will have some serious impact on the overall economy, not only if they don't get something done, but if they don't make some budget cuts, right?
Yeah, Brian, I think this is the subject of the day, and it is perplexing at some levels, and it obviously creates some concern on other levels. It does. I think the consensus still is something will get done, but the smart money is now saying that they are going to kick the can down the road, but they're going to have an agreement in principle and draft the legislation within the next few months. Now, there's two schools of thought on this. One is that you'll get a marginal, or in a, gosh, I hate to call $1 trillion a marginal agreement, but that you'll get a debt reduction agreement, and that you will then reassess or address the issue again in 4 to 6 or 8 months. And the other school of thought is that because of the interest in the Gang of Six proposal and the apparent bipartisan agreement that's evidenced in the Gang of Six, which is three Republican senators and three Democrat senators have agreed on a proposal, and it is a substantial proposal of budget cuts and tax reform. Because of the enthusiasm or the acceptance of that new agreement, that you will have an extension of the debt or an increase in the debt ceiling, and everybody will work towards drafting legislation. Now, that's the best possible scenario. Really what we're talking about here, Brian, is a very significant reassessment of the direction of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think logical, thoughtful people hope that the debate occurs in the next election, because this is a very profound moment in our history. We need to say, hey, where are we going? What are our principles? What is our desired course of action? I don't think any intelligent person wants to see money spent foolishly or a lack of control. We want to have a balanced budget. We want to operate a federal government that takes care of the needs of its citizens in a logical manner in proportion to our economic ability. That's obviously not the case now. So this debate should be had in a national forum. It should be probably a part of the 2012 elections at all levels. And you hate to see it bogged down in some sort of ideological tug of war right now, because we do not need to default on our debt. Now, there was an interesting, I'm rambling a little bit, but there was an interesting poll done yesterday that showed about 4% of the economists think that there is a real risk of the U.S. defaulting on the debt. So money people still haven't reacted negatively to that possibility. 10-year bonds still around 3% or under 3%. So we haven't seen a market reaction to the possibility yet. So we'll see what happens. But there won't be anything happening until next week. So we're getting pretty close to the deadline.
Yeah, we sure are. Patrick Stone joining us, our economic expert from Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. And you're right, the ideological debate. I mean, I agree with you 1,000%, Pat. I mean, this is really the issue in the next election, is where are we going from here? And it's interesting to see, as every day goes along, and you follow this as much as I do, you know, what started off as the Republicans digging in their heels and the Democrats digging in their heels, we have seen some compromise, so that's good.
We have, and you know, there's it looks now that this the Gang of Six proposal, it provides some face saving possibilities for both sides, which I think, you know, in a cynical moment, we'll all agree is what politics is about. And
yeah.
it appears that if this gets some traction, this will provide an opportunity for us to get down the road, get this, you know, get the debt ceiling raised temporarily, get legislation drafted that has a long-term curative effect on our out of whack federal budget. The reality is we cannot fix the federal deficit or budget imbalance in a short-term manner. It won't work. It'll be too disruptive both to the economy and to the population. But we do need to fix it, and it has to be a 10-year process. So I think this creates an environment, the Gang of Six proposal creates an environment in which everybody saves face. We can move the debate to the 2012 election. We can get some meaningful reductions in the budget over the next, 4 or 5 to 10 years, and we tee it up so that we have a logical, meaningful debate that the entire population can weigh in on.
Patrick Stone joining us here on Business Briefing. We see unemployment ticking up in not only the U.S. since we last talked, Pat, but the state of Oregon as well. You talk to so many different executives. You're all over the country. What's going on out there? I focused on this last week from the business owners I talked with. I want to get your insight now, or what's going on or not going on. Why are they not hiring?
Well, you know, Brian, this doesn't surprise me at all. We talked earlier in this year about a second half slowdown because of some of the macro issues, the Japanese earthquake and tsunami, the tightening in China. We mentioned that a couple times. The European debt crisis, the Arab Spring. We talked 4 or 5 months ago, and I think at that time we talked about their potential for a mid to second half slowdown. We are seeing it now, and you know, because of that, people are cautious on the hiring. The initial jobless claims this morning were actually a modest negative at best. I mean, they weren't. I think the consensus was about 410,000. They came in at 418,000. I think what's happening is pretty much in line with what you could expect, given all the macro factors that we were looking at earlier in the year. And, you know, I think the current consensus on GDP varies fairly significantly, but I think the smart people are saying that the Q2 is going to come in at about 1.5 and Q3 at about 2.5. We are not going to slip back into a recession. The economy is digesting those things that happened earlier in the year. They don't have an immediate impact, but they have an impact 6 months out, and that's what we're seeing.
Definitely. Now, RealtyTrack recently reported foreclosures spiking. What gives? Because I think that in the mainstream media, it was portrayed that the foreclosure issue was being resolved, but it spikes. What happened?
Well, this is another case of perspective. You know, you had a slowdown because of robo-signing. I mean, there were hundreds of thousands of foreclosure that were held up or basically stopped. So the process bogged down and it basically ground to a halt. Now it is starting to pick back up. I mean, if you look at the long-term rates, there is a modest concern on my part over the month-to-month change in delinquency rate. It was up about 2.4% June over May. Year-to-year delinquency rate, though, is down about 14.7% same period. So we're going the right direction, but it's, you know, if we focus on one day and one point in time, we can get ourselves pretty nervous, but if a little perspective here, we are going the right direction. So year-over-year change in foreclosure presale inventory is up about 12.8%. This is a natural progression of the pig going through the snake. I mean, it really is. So I'm not overly concerned about short-term aberrations in this. You know, this is going to be a 3-year process to get the foreclosure, the bulk of the foreclosures through and get back to some sort of normality.
Only a minute left here in this segment, Pat. Real quick, though, you'd mentioned to me via email that REO sales versus equity sales, there's been some movement there.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, this is really intriguing to me. And what's going on is that we get these national pronouncements about the state of the housing market. And as anybody that's ever bought or sold a home knows, real estate is a very local phenomena, but we are seeing strengthening in what I call equity sales. That's the resale of a home by the owner. And That has trended up the last couple of months. In fact, in Multnomah County, Oregon, that's up 20%. Prices are up 20% on equity sales in the last 2 months. Now, that's more than offset by the fact that REO prices are down. REO sales, typically that's bank-owned property. They foreclosed, now they put it back on the market, and they offer huge incentives. And REO sales are typically 15 to 25%, a discount of 15 to 25% from the normal equity sale market. Right now, they are being discounted 42%. So that's what's dragging the overall prices down. Resale homes have actually strengthened. They're back. You know, I'm looking at a chart here that shows June's resales. The price level in Multnomah County was about what it was in mid-2007. So we've seen a really significant strengthening in resale homes. Again, the national press looks at the total average price, and that's drug down by the REO sales.
Interesting. That's a good number. Let's carry that point over into the next segment. Patrick Stone from WFG National Title joining us. More with him after a quick break.